With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Right, we're back. Very depressing start to the podcast because Rovers are crap at the minute. The last time of the season, or the most important part of the season, we've gone to the dogs basically.
Yeah, it's definitely how it feels. All that momentum that we built up pre-international break has disappeared. Two very disappointing performances against Birmingham and Norwich, particularly on Good Friday with the big crowd on.
Bumper crowd.
Obviously a massive game as well, a huge opportunity. To me, like, if we'd have won on Friday, it would have been one foot in the playoffs. And instead now, you know, we're back in a situation where it's like, it's 50-50.
And we're going to get in there, yeah. And like, that's bad considering we've got a game in hand, we're a point above seven. And we're still, none of us are confident now, especially after Friday's game. None of us are confident. I think the Birmingham one you could like scratch as a one-off. Almost like we were unlucky, but it's just a lack of fight, and we'll get on to the reasons why that is, or why I believe. It's fine. So yeah, we'll start with Birmingham away, chronological order.
Yeah.
And I said, when we played Birmingham at home, they had like all the chances, didn't they? And Kavinsky had an absolute worldie.
Yeah.
And people were saying, oh, we're quite lucky. Like, Birmingham had like 3.8 XG or something, and we beat them 2-1. And I said that at the time, that we're not lucky. We've just got one of the best keepers in the championship. Well, John Ruddy had the absolute game of his life. And I don't think he's one of the best keepers, but he is a good goalkeeper. Obviously, been playing in the Prem for all them years, played for England. And he made some, probably not top class saves, probably the one from Hedges is probably best save at game, innit? Whereas on another day, you probably, one or two of them go in, and you either get a point or you win the game. Big players do that for you at big occasions. Did you watch it?
No, I was at Dawn doing the match report, so I didn't watch it. Or
last one at season?
Yeah, that's Darwin's season. Well, the home season done anyway. They've got two more away games, playing at Nelson tomorrow, and then South Liverpool, I think, away on the final day next Saturday. So,
have you had to play for?
No, I'm in the table. There's
better than last season, obviously.
Yeah,
fighting for lives.
Better season. But there's like too big a gap between them playoffs now. Better season.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch it. From my, just gauging off the reaction on Twitter after the game, it was very much people just kind of wanting to write it off and move on. It weren't really a it was a disappointment, but it weren't a panic. You know, it was kind of like a...
These games happen.
It happens. It doesn't really change out. But obviously, after Friday's game, the mood was very different. Because of how big an opportunity Friday was.
Yeah, I think... I mean, going back to Saturday, Travis was everywhere in midfield and Morton was nowhere. And I don't want to keep... To be honest, I would love if we never had to speak to him ever again. Never had to speak about him ever again. That would be my wish in life. But unfortunately, whilst he plays, we do have to speak about him because he is costing us games every single time he plays. And it's no coincidence that our best form was when we've had Travis and Buckley playing together in midfield.
Yeah.
And like you watch him play, and I know like a lot of people have said about Higham and Carter playing the ball back and forward, like, but you need someone to come and get the ball off in midfield and then spray it about. Travis bombs on further forward and is probably not the most comfortable receiving the ball off a centre back, so he's back to goal. Morton, like, so wherever the striker's closing the centre back down, you could draw a straight line from the centre back who's got the ball, the man that's closing him down, and Tyler Morton. He just stays behind him all the time. Mm. He doesn't ever like drop a shoulder and like get into space and ask for the ball to feet. If he does get it to feet, he either goes straight back to where it's come from or back to the goalkeeper. He never turns, looks to get his head up, beats a man, he just doesn't add anything to the team at all. And I just feel like there's no competition for places again.
No, I think Buckley getting injured against Stoke, it was such a huge blow. It felt it at the time. I think it's showing week on week now. You know, you just look at the differences in at the difference in both performances and results since that injury. In terms of Morton, although the club hasn't confirmed it, we've mentioned it time and time again on here that there has to be something in his contract, and I don't think you know even the biggest, I don't know, the biggest optimist, I suppose, the biggest Morton lover, if there is such a thing, can deny that at this point. Well, yeah, I don't think anyone can deny that at this point. There must be a stipulation in his contract.
Why won't the club tell us that then? If they came out and were honest and said, right, there's certain financial stipulations or we've made an agreement in a loan deal that we have to play him when he's fit, that's fair enough, that's fine. But if Thomason is picking him based on performances, I can't accept that. And I'd rather sack Thomason now, and I've loved Thomason since he's been here. But if you're going to pick someone who is costing us playoffs after he's already cost us an FA Cup quarter final, then I'm sorry, I'd rather
FA Cup 7, it costs us in the quarter final.
It costs us in the quarter final, and if we don't finish in the playoffs, it'll be largely down to him, because there's been games this season where he's give goals away. Wigan away comes to mind, the two goals on Friday against Norwich, both coming from him not challenging him in midfield or just shitting himself because he's an absolute wet ass. And people say, like, so when I know I got someone on the way back from Sheffield United, he said, you don't come through Liverpool's academy if you're not a good player. I can name you. If you name me three good players that come through, I can name you 30 bad ones that have come through as well.
Mm.
And we've had a few of them. Leighton Clarkson, Jay Spearing. Like, we've seen some of them. John Flanagan, Shaji Ojo, Jordan Ibe. Just because you come through Liverpool's academy doesn't make you a good player. Our academy is better than Murta's. Yeah. And our academy has got better players coming through than him at the minute who can't get in the team because he's been shoved into there no matter what.
Mm.
And that's where I draw the line, because, like, Thomason, if there is like a loan agreement in place or like financial repercussions for not playing him, if you want to be successful, you need to, especially like in a game where it could put 7 points clear to get in the playoffs, Thomason has to put his foot down and say, no, I'm picking my best team. And he's not even in the best squad, no man, best team.
No, I think the second goal on Friday, a lot of the blame has obviously been directed towards him. Now, I thought, I've kind of got two ways that I see it. I think the type of fouls that the referee was giving in that game, you'd have thought it might have been given, because they were giving a lot of soft fouls. But at the same time, you look at it, you take the context of the game away, and you look at it from your own point of view, should it have been a foul? I think Norway should have been stronger. So there's two ways.
Well, like, he's more bothered about the incoming contact than he is about winning the header. Like, he's only headed it the way he has, away from all the players and to the fullback, because he's took his eye off the ball and thought, oh shit, someone's going to jump into me in a second. Mm. And he's just, like, jumped up, ducked, and just given the ball back. Like, I don't know, like, for me, if you're going to be a centre midfielder, you need to win that header, put it in a better area for us, and then if they do come and foul you, then you take the contact.
Yeah.
But he's almost like, I'm so worried about the contact that I'm not even going to think about heading it, as long as it just hits my head and I win a free kick. Same with Sheffield United, like, he just thinks like, oh, they've made contact, if I go down rather than kicking the ball out of play, then I'll get the free kick eventually.
Do you think it's part of like a bigger problem that we need to be tougher as a team?
Yeah, we are too nice, definitely. I didn't really see any examples of it at Birmingham away. Probably more that like Djukovic had. I mean, he always does have a good game against us, no matter who he plays for. He always has a worldie against us for some reason. But I mean, he got the better of Hyam and Carter basically, which is unusual. Mm. I thought Sargent got the better of him on Friday. There is like a nicety to us, and we're just not ruthless enough as a club. Like, we just, like, the ball goes out of play, we're too slow to get it back onto the pitch, there's fans doing kick-ups with the ball, like, in the corner, rather than getting the ball, like, at a time when we're 1-0 down, and...
It would daft that, wouldn't it?
And I just think, like, it's almost like we see it as a day out, rather than trying to win football games. I just don't understand it at all.
The atmosphere on Friday just wasn't what I was expecting at all. Like, it just kind of... It felt like the whole thing passed us by, and I was thinking that 20,000 on today, or round about 20,000. Like, you know, the atmosphere is going to be, everyone's going to be really up for it, and it was just kind of a bit.
I think because it's a bank holiday, because the weather's nice, it's almost like a 2-hour break in between pubs. That's what it was for most people. Yeah. Like, people have been out since dinner time, few pints, walked down in the sunshine, go and watch the football. Well, the rare amount of football that was shown on Friday, and then, like, can't wait to get back to pubs. When it goes 2-0 down, people are just like, see in beer garden. Like, it's not, we're not going to come. We haven't even not come back from 1-0 down all season, so we're not going to come back from 2-0 down.
Yeah.
There was a moment where Diaz clipped it over to Gallagher, and he goes through 1-on-1, and then he almost like backs off to let the fullback get it first.
Mm.
We're just thinking, like, any other striker just gets his arm across, barges him out of the way, and volleys it back at net. But it's almost like, oh, after you, sir. Yeah. You get this ball.
It's, you know, conceding that first goal at the time that we did, and obviously our record of not coming back from behind, like, to win a game all season. You know, that doesn't help, but surely if you've got that problem, then you've got to get off to an aggressive start. You've got to be on the front foot.
Yeah.
Particularly in a game like that, you've got to use big crowd, hugely important game, as incentives to help you in that. You know, you've got to be aggressive, you've got to start on the front foot, and you've got to look to score the opening goal. So we can point fingers at that goal, like, kind of killing any like early momentum in the game, if you will, you know, any.
But it started straight away because I think Diaz comes inside, takes in every touch. Morton tries playing it back to the fullback, they intercept it, and Hernandez shoots and Per saves it for a corner. That's what, 60 seconds in, 70 seconds. So automatically, people are like, oh crap,
yeah.
And in such a big game, and the fans are so nervous anyway, like, it's not really the one to settle the nerves. Whereas, if that's you at the other end pinching the ball and getting a shot and winning a corner, then the fans get behind you and it builds events. But I don't know. It has been over the last probably since Millwall in the quarter final, where every big game we've had, or every important game we've lost.
Just been a bit timid and a bit like we've shrunk to the occasion almost a bit.
Yeah. I just don't understand why, because surely as footballers you look forward to them occasions, and a sold out Blackburn and you can't wait to score in front of, but it just seems like complete opposite. But I don't know. What do I know? I'm just someone that goes down to you and screams at them, boos them off.
And rants on you every week.
So yeah, we're shit midfield again on Friday. Nothing up top. I think Gallagher had 6 touches in the first half, which is not enough for any player at home. And like people are saying, like, he's making runs and stuff, but runs are like surely they work on it in training.
Surely that's the bare minimum.
Well, yeah, that as well. But the passing centre half to centre half and stuff, keeping the ball, and like Gallagher's like making diagonal runs and whatnot, and it's almost like, well, have you tried it in training that one of these times you're gonna knock a long ball over the top and you get through, or are you just running for running's sake? Like, surely you'd be better off standing still whilst they're doing that, and then when the ball goes out to the winger, then using your energy to sprint into the channel and get the ball, not jogging between centre backs whilst our centre backs are taking short goal kicks. It's almost like running for running's sake, and then gets in at full time. I'm getting like 13 miles. You run to the even, absolutely clash you. If it like run 30 miles, I've touched ball 8 times. So what is the? What are the, like, the key statistics you want people to reach? What are the goals for each individual player? And I don't think they're either set high enough, or I don't know. I'm kind of like not fed up at the season, because it has been a really good season, but I can just see it dying out with a whimper, and like there is no competition for places. I think going into the playoffs, you should have a strong 11 that's in form, and then people on the bench that are like desperate to get on and show what they can do. We're like, look at our bench, like you can't take Gallagher off, we don't have another centre forward. The two midfielders, we've had to like bring Adam Wharton when he came on, like first 10 minutes, first time he got a ball, drove into the corner flag, beat two men, crossed
like the
ball,
there was massive
in.
Improvement, didn't it?
Yeah. And like we're not asking for much, we're just asking for people, like I've always said, you can't win a game 11 versus 11, you have to take someone on, and we don't have enough players to just beat a man. It only takes you to beat one man, and then the space opens up, someone else gets dragged out, and that's when chances open up. But it's always the safe option. Whereas Adam Wharton, when he came on, were like, on the half turn, beats a man. And then there are a couple of times where he overhit passes and stuff. But he's not match fit, so he's going to do that. But eventually, if you'd played him... So if you said from now to end of the season, you're going to start every game, I mean, it's probably too late now, because by the time he gets fully match fit,
it'll be the end of the season.
But by the time you get to the Millwall game, he probably will be on fire, and then like the sorted passes where we're in diagonals to Thomas and it runs through to the keeper, they'll be going to Thomas's feet, and then he'll be charging into the box to get edge or something, and he just offers you a lot more. And so obviously Dad had to do it with us, didn't he, on Friday, because I booed after Morton got subbed off, and he's like, you can't boo him, he's a young lad. I'm like, but it's like, the thing is, you can't compare it to any other situation, because there's never been a situation like it. If Romans had, when we had Duff and Dunn coming through in from the academy, and they were obviously two of our better players, if at that time we'd have got, it was a young player coming through then at the time, if we'd have got someone on loan for a Premier League team who wasn't as good as them two, and he was playing every game.
Oh, Michael Carrick. Oh.
Yeah, but I mean, he was a good player. So I'm trying to think of like a bad player. So say we've got Luke Chadwick on loan from Man United, right? I don't know why he's the first one to come to my head. So we've got Luke Chadwick on loan, left midfielder. He's not as good as Damien Duff, but he's playing every game. And Duff's on bench. And every time Duff comes on with 10 minutes to go, he beats 3 or 4 men, gets crosses in, nearly sets up goals, nearly scores goals. Next game, Luke Chadwick starts again. The people from that generation would have been like, no, that, like, this isn't on. So I don't know, this, it's almost like a bit, it's just a bit soft football at the minute. I feel like footballers can't take criticism. I'm not like, it's not just people say, oh, they won't say that to his face. Like, I'd just tell him that, like, I don't rate you at all. I don't, that, and I would try and point out and say, I don't hate you because I don't think you're good enough. It's just, I hate you because you don't do these things, and you do too much of this, and this. And I feel like young footballers nowadays are so protected in academies, and so, like, mollycoddled, basically, that they're not used to criticism. The first time they get it, they just shrink.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, them sort of players won't make it, and I think it goes back to this, the problem with English football in general. Like, they never create winners. They just create, like, they'll create good players, but not mentally strong, will do anything to win, because they just think that being a good player is enough. And at the top level, it never will be enough. Yeah, that's enough about Tyler Morton. What else happened? But the 18,000 plus crowd was good. They brought 2,000, and I thought they were good when they went 2-0 up. For the last 20 minutes, it was like dead, weren't they, really?
I think maybe it was a bit, maybe a bit of an anticlimax for them as well, in that how easy it was.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. But, yeah, I know if, like, the roles reverse and that runs 2-0 up away from home, then
I'll be shitting myself. Expecting us to get beat still.
But, I mean, we're recording this on Easter Sunday, and it just puts all the, so much more pressure on tomorrow now, don't it? We need to win tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a must-get win game, and it's not going to be easy, because in form, fighting for their lives, they're going to make it difficult, because Warnock always does, and Warnock always seems to get a result against us as well. So I'm not confident about tomorrow. I don't know what the team's going to be. For me, you have to, like, make 4 or 5 changes and send a statement out, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I think if you name the same first 11, we don't get a result, so you have to try something new. Not Kaminsky, I won't change Kaminsky, but Britton had come back in at right back. Costello go at middle. Travis and Costello, yeah. Pickering left back. Hayam Carton centre back. Up front.
I think not being able to play Thomas is so frustrating, because obviously he didn't start on Friday when a lot of people, including myself, feel he should have started.
Yeah.
Especially with how well he played when he came on. And you know, really, it was him and Adam Wharton that kind of, obviously we didn't end up like getting a goal back, or whatever, but it did improve.
Yeah.
And it was down to them too.
Yeah, do you think you put... Could you play Smodic up front and play Wharton in behind him? The Gallagher experiment, it's been with us for like 6 years or something stupid. Like, it's not an experiment anymore, is it? It's just not working. But, I mean, Smodic made some really good runs from the centre, like down into the channel where Diaz could flick it out corner. I just think if you play him on the last man, you're more likely to get that space in behind for him to run into. And I don't know what the answer is. I'm tired.
I'm tired.
Just win a game and play well. Dolan, does he come back in? See, I feel like Dolan has no end products either. I just feel like we need that's something that it's easy to say, we need a bagsman, but not many of them floating about, is there?
No.
But he's going to go somewhere else, so... I think if we were to miss out this season, although we weren't expecting it at the start of the season, admittedly. Problem is, if you finish 7th this year, a point off playoffs, expectations go up for next season.
Next season has to be playoffs if we miss out this season, for me.
See, I think just because of the quality of the Championship next season, if you look at the three teams coming down from the Prem, which could be any of Southampton, Everton, Leicester, Crystal Palace, Leeds, like, they're all massive clubs that could that would easily, like, they'd be looking at automatic promotion and breaking a record, basically. Yeah. You've also got Sheffield Wednesday and Ipswich coming up from League One, who were like, their expectations next season won't be, we need to stay in the Championship. No. They'll be looking at playoffs / promotion. Well, probably not promotion, but they'll be like competing. Stoke are going to get better. Sunderland are going to get better. Well, I'll say Sunderland are going to get better. Like, they'll invest, but...
If they change their mind, they'll get better.
But I just think there's a lot of teams this season who haven't got it right And if they do get it right for next season, they'll be a lot better off. So I'm trying to think who that could possibly be. Like Stoke. If Stoke invest well in the summer, they'll be up there next year. Bristol City, they've still got a decent squad. Probably been disappointed with this year.
Yeah.
West Brom, Watford. I mean, Watford is a massive rebuild for whoever's a manager next season, but
it's constant rebuilding.
If they get if the first four of the five managers next season do all right, they could be up there. So yeah, I think if you do miss, if we do miss out this season, next season's like, again, I think it's more of a, because I can't see us investing, and I can't see us investing well. The problem is we have to sell before we invest. Well,
hopefully Brentford will sell Raya and we'll get some money.
100 million for Raya and we get like 5 million back.
Yeah, we'll take it.
We've wasted a lot of money over the years, haven't we? I don't think that I couldn't name a player that we could sell realistically for the enough money to reinvest. I mean, we can't sell Diaz, it's already gone on a free.
Oh yeah.
But I'm talking like 6 million for Gallagher. Would you get a million for him now?
I don't think so.
The wages are on as well.
Yeah.
It's like Bradley Dack's out of contract in the summer, and I heard Elliot Jackson and Ryan Hildred
on
Inside Brocco podcast talking about like, would you renew his contract? It would have to be like on half wages.
Yeah.
Because he got
those terms, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Wouldn't be as bad as like pays your player due to injuries and stuff, but you can't be like one of the highest earners and miss most of the season, especially if you're not in like Thomason's first team plans.
I mean,
Ayala's
news broke earlier that he's going to miss tomorrow's game as well.
Yeah. But I mean, Ayala wouldn't get renewed unless it was like player slash coach on reduced terms. That'd be like the only way. Gallagher's a top earner. You can't get, but you can't get rid of him. But the problem is the wages on at Rovers, which no other club pays them wages. Even if they're going to offer a fee for him, like he's going to want something from Rovers to go. Like as John Parkin says, like no door, no go.
Mm.
Kaminski maybe. One of the keepers is going to have to go in the summer because you can't have both of them wanting to be first choice goalkeeper. Kaminski probably has a higher market value than Purs, would you say?
Yeah, I'd say so.
So you keep Purs and have Easton and Hilton as like second and third choice goalkeepers. Who else have you got? Scott Wharton, if he doesn't want to be if he's not going to be a regular next season.
Mm.
But again, he's an academy product. You don't really want to get rid of him, do you?
No. I think there's a lot of players that still have the potential for Rovers to sell for, you know, millions. But I don't think they're at that stage yet. Like players like Adam Wharton, Costello, Carter, you know, they're still developing to get to that point. So in terms of reinvestment, I don't think that's an option in the same way that it has been in over the past few summers.
And I also think that after the COVID season, when clubs were struggling for cash and there were a lot of free agents bouncing about, I don't think it's going to be the same this summer. I mean, you've seen Rovers tie in over the international break where it's like six contract renewals or something like that. There's going to be a lot more of that this summer rather than people going for free and being released, basically.
Yeah.
Mark Andre, does he move on? I mean, Aberdeen manager's not happy with you, so.
Barely featured at Aberdeen. It was about like 8 minutes or something.
Another £1 million wasted. It is just wastage after wastage, isn't it? And £281,000 a year for Steve Waggett for a club that can't sell tickets, refuses to do anything for fans. Like, we're just throwing money into the sea and just hoping that one at Waves brings something back.
Dallas has took a.
I know they've took a dark turn. If you listen to this and like, just wait till like, I don't know. It's a nice.
Wait till we win tomorrow. Listen to that podcast. When we're all buzzing that we're going up again.
Yeah, but yeah, if it starts raining, don't listen to podcasts. Right. So championship results. We'll start with the first weekend. Yeah. Which was obviously starting meals, Birmingham 1, Blackburn 0. Bristol City 1, Reading 1. Reading minus 6 points deduction. Are they going down?
Another points deduction. Yeah.
Are they going down?
It puts them in trouble, doesn't it?
I think they're in relegations on now, aren't they?
Yeah. I think quite a big portion of their support is worried now.
Yeah.
Sitting on Twitter, so...
Like, if you're already losing money, like, going into administration now, like, when you... And they don't have massive fans now, massive, like, crowds and stuff.
No.
It's like, what happens when you go down to League One?
Yeah.
Especially if they keep pulling this manager, because they won't be optimistic that they're going to come back up. Cardiff 2, Swansea 3, 99th minute winner for Swansea. Stuff of absolute dreams.
Yeah.
Some of the videos that we've seen since then. See, I'm always like, why are people recording last minute free kicks and stuff? But for other people that get to see it afterwards, I think they're actually doing you a favour, because you don't have to record it, but you can still relive it through the footage.
Right. I saw a lot of our fans, and I was saying it myself, like, after the videos of, like, the Lames are posted on Twitter, like, just one moment, like, yeah, that, you know. It was before an away game that we went to earlier this season. I was, like, trying to find the last minute winner we scored away from home. And I was looking back through the games, it was Blackpool away in the Premier League, Brett Emerton.
That was the last added time winner?
Yeah, away from home. That's 13 years ago.
Yeah. We had one that season, like, it must have been late, Hoylett away at Villa. It might have been more down as a Richard done on goal, but from where we were in the stand, it looked like Hoylett headed it.
Yeah.
We beat him 1-0. It weren't for anything. We finished, like, 8th or something. They finished, like, 5th outside of Champions League places. So it wasn't an important goal, but I remember that being, like, 87th, 88th minute. Definitely late on, anyway. But, yeah, we'd never seem to get... Even at home, and don't have moments like we had a few in COVID season, but nothing.
Yeah, I remember there was one that Armstrong scored, weren't there? Yeah. It was like against.
Did they go 1-0 up in like 80th minute or something?
Watford, I think, maybe. Who were it?
The one with Daniel Lawler headed it back across to him and he had nodded it in a back post.
Yeah. There were a couple in COVID season.
Was there one against Reading?
No, we got beat at home to Reading, didn't we? It was like 4-2. And they scored after like 8 seconds or something, do you remember?
I don't remember anything COVID season.
Number 19-20, Buckley scored that deflected winner.
Chef Wednesday.
Yeah.
Coventry 0, Stoke 4. Absolute battering for Stoke. And again, I just think they'll get stronger with Alex Neil next season. Coventry just can't score. Huddersfield 4, Middlesbrough 2. Shock of the weekend, definitely. Middlesbrough, I think it's playoffs only for Middlesbrough now, isn't it? Not going to get top two.
Yeah.
Hull 0, Rotherham 0, no comment. Norwich 0, Sheffield United 1. I think Sheffield United are up just because of, like, Borough's failings and them keep winning somehow. Wigan 1, QPR 0. Oh, no, West Brom 0, Millwall 0. Again, I just didn't put out, like, I say mid-table dead rubber. Millwall are up there, aren't they? I just don't think.
Yeah.
I think it's between us and Millwall for dropping out. I think third and fourth are definitely going up in the playoffs. Mm. Luton and Middlesbrough. I think us and Millwall can definitely still drop out if other teams below start picking up points. Wigan 1, QPR 0. QPR free falling. Could go down. If Reading pick up more points.
Could do.
It's something like 17 games, like, we out of win.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
17 losses.
I saw a picture of the Championship table from, I think it was after 16 or 17 games. And I think they were they like second in between us and Burnley and us, so yeah. We were third, and it was Burnley, QPR, us.
Yeah.
After like 16 or 17 games,
it's madness, isn't it? Ever since Beale got linked to Aston Villa's job, killed him. Luton 2, Watford 0. Watford just weren't interested. Luton are up there more or less. I think that's them done. Preston 3, Blackpool 1. Big derby win for Preston, and then Burnley 0, Sunderland 0. But not really asked about that. Middlesbrough 1, Burnley 2. Nothing to write about that either. Sunderland 4, Hull 4. 98th minute penalty for Hull. 4-4 is just a mad Championship mid-table
really
game.
Really good to watch a neutral.
Yeah, just nothing riding on it at all. Blackpool 1, Cardiff 3. 6-pointer for Cardiff in the battle against relegation. I think that's them safe now. I think they'll just pick up enough points. I don't think Wigan and Blackpool... I thought if Blackpool beat them, they could possibly catch them, but Wigan and Blackpool are down now for me. Yeah. QPR 0, Preston 2. Preston were 2-1 before the game to win against QPR, who have lost, like we said, the last 17 games or something stupid like that. And Preston are probably one of the best away teams in the league.
That's good odds, is that, really?
Yeah, class odds. Reading 1, Birmingham 1. Could be a crucial point for Reading, but probably not enough. Sheffield United 1, Wigan 0. Promoted now, Sheffield United. Stoke 1, Bristol City 2. Mid-table, dead rubber. That's a problem. Like, gets like this stage of the season, Norfolk games... pre-season friendlies for next year, aren't they, really?
Well, there was a pre-season field to Rovers on Friday, and there shouldn't have been.
Pace to it, anyway. Swansea 0, Coventry 0, can't seem to score Coventry. Watford 2, Huddersfield 3. Watford, did you see the keeper having an absolute meltdown?
No, I didn't see that, no.
So, Watford got a free kick on like the halfway line. For like a Huddersfield player kicking their players off the ball. Something a bit like scrappy anyway. On the way to the box, the keeper runs over, shouts at the referee and pushes one of their players, gets booked. Then the free kick gets launched into the box. It's bouncing around and he just drop kicks former Rovers player, Matty Pearson, centre-back.
Oh, right, yeah.
Huddersfield. He like diving headers it. And he like, it's almost like a hurricanrana. Like, it's awful. And then the ref comes over, second yellow, and he's like, what? But yeah, just absolute meltdown from him. And like Wilder's just like shaking his head like, what is my first choice keeper doing? Like the last minute, like, what is he doing? Huddersfield, massive fight back. I've put them to be relegated all season, so I'm going to be left with egg on my face, it looks like it. Rotherham 3, West Brom 1. Rotherham staying up. West Brom not good enough for top 6. Not playing well enough. I think if they got into the top 6, I think any team would be hoping to draw them, really. Millwall 0, Luton 0 was the playoff dinner time kickoff where both of them, I think they almost like accepted a point each before kickoff. It was like, one didn't like lay a glove on each other. So that is the championship results. What else do you want to talk about? VAR.
It's another shocking day for VAR yesterday.
Yesterday was the worst.
The early kickoff was the Old Firm, weren't it? And Rangers had
Morales' goal disallowed
for a push, apparently, even though it was like a 50-50 in the box.
Yeah, 6-1 and half a dozen other, weren't it?
Yeah. Now, that's one of them, because the referee has given it. Like, can VAR say it's a clear and obvious error because it's the referee's interpretation of it?
Yeah.
The referee's seen a foul. And you could argue that there's evidence for a foul because Morales has got 2 hands in his back, but you've got to take the whole thing, for me, into consideration, and like Morales is being held.
Yeah, but it's got to the point now, like, so you literally cannot use your hands in the box, and it's something that's always happened in football. Like, if the ball's coming over and one of you's trying to head it, like, you'll always like put your arm there, like, stop them backing into your like headbutting your face. So like. But like, and then when you're marking someone, you'll always have like an arm across or something. But it feels like if you've got an arm across and the ball is your arm, like that, when you've got a hold of someone, it's a penalty. Well, no, because he's not done that to block the shot or block the cross. He's done that because it's a contact sport, and that's how everyone defends, or that's how everyone and attackers do it as well. But yeah, I didn't really understand it. There was one in the United game where the second. Have you seen the goals from last night? Did you watch Match of the Day?
I watched the first two games. Firstly,
classic.
No, I saw the Brighton incidents, but I didn't see anything else. Really.
So the United one, long ball from Martinez. Rashford is offside. Coleman's tried to control it, missed it. Like he's like gone under his foot and like squirmed, and then Rashford squared it to Martial. Martial scored. They said because Coleman's purposely tried to play it is not offside, but I think if Rashford's not there, then Coleman just lets it go out for a goal kick. He only has to control it because Rashford's behind him.
Right.
So I think because Rashford's... Or just because Coleman's tried to play it, I still think Rashford's offside.
Because Rashford's interfered with his decision-making. Yeah.
Yeah. But what they're saying is that
just him being there.
Yeah, it doesn't make. I don't really like it. I just think if you're offside, you're offside. There was one in the. Well, there was quite a few in the Newcastle game. So the penalty for Tony's first goal, just absolutely shocking. Like, Isaac goes to clear the ball, Rico Henry diving headers it, and he catches it on the hip. And it would have been a soft penalty, and I don't think it should be a penalty. The VAR official watches it 30 times in slow motion before even asking the referee to come over. He watches it 30 times. So, like, I think if you're having to watch it 30 times in slow motion, it's not.
You're looking for
it's
it.
Not a penalty.
Yeah.
Like, they're looking for the contact. They're looking for a reason to give it. And I don't know. I'm just fed up with it. I'm just fed up with football at the minute. But the Brighton
keep
one,
it, get rid of it, change it,
make it an appeal system, because the Brighton game yesterday, the one where it hits off his hip and he's give it for handball, I don't think any Tottenham player appeals for it. They've had to watch it a million and one times in slow motion to see it brush his arm on the way past after it's hit his hip, and I just think, you know what, I mean, I think it's being used to make the to keep the top four, it does favour the biggest teams in the league.
Taking a game like that, I think.
Yeah. Like, could they have overtook Spurs yesterday? Did they won?
It's got the league table.
But yeah, I just think it's been introduced to like influence big games and keep the big teams towards the top of the league.
So they would have gone within a point of them. Because Spurs are in fifth on 53 and Brighton are in 7th on 46.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I just think it's shocking. It's cheating, isn't it? Let's be honest. It's like Newcastle have been stung a few times with VAR. I don't change it. I think appeal system. That's the furthest way. Until the players are actually saying, like, that's definitely a penalty. Can you go and watch it? But until then, like, you can't have players lining up for a goal kick and then the referee 3 minutes later going to watch something and then giving a penalty. Like, one, it's unfair on the fans. Two, it's unfair on the players. We've already seen Mitrovic lose his head at one of them. That sort of reaction will carry on happening because it's confusion that leads to frustration. It's not the decision, it's not anger, it's confusion because you don't know what's going on. But yeah, I don't know. They're never going to change it, are they? Because it's working well for them, for the results that they want and for the script that they want to follow.
For the established elite.
Yeah. Yeah. What else has happened in the football world?
Chaos at Chelsea, really, I suppose. Lampard.
Yeah, Lampard getting back in the night. It's like glorified failure, isn't it? You do bad, you get linked to every job. In football manager's the only thing you can do bad at. And get offered another big job. It just wouldn't happen in any other line of work. And I think English bias comes into it as well.
Yeah.
I've seen Gerrard link me a few jobs, and I just think after the job he did at Rangers and the job he did at Aston Villa, like, you see how well Emery's doing now at Villa.
He's really turned things around there, hasn't he? could get European football after all.
Which is what they should be getting. They should be aiming for that. Anyway.
Yeah, they should be aiming for, you know,
top six,
Conference
League,
you know, Europa League.
Whoa.
Better than Champions League.
I love that anthem that he was.
It's a shame how it went for Potter, I suppose. I mean, I don't think the circumstances, everything that's going on at the club at the minute helped. Abramovich, new owners, who
signing 29 attacking midfielders and no striker.
It's yet to be seen how it's going to go under them in the long term, but so far it's been dubious with the money they've spent. Not convinced at all by Mudrick.
Is he that kind of player that takes chances and, like, clinical finisher? Is he just... He's just pace, basically, isn't he? Like a blonde Theo Walcott.
Someone calling the Chernobyl Dan James.
Yeah, that was a good shout, that. But yeah, he's just absolutely rapping, and his end product is Chernobyl Dan James. Love that. Yeah, there's some shocking signings they made. I mean, Havertz is at number 9, is he? Let's be honest. Chelsea, if you're listening, Sam Gallagher is available for the reduced price of 42 million.
Did you watch
that
Chelsea-Liverpool game the other night?
Shocking standard. That was like Chelsea-Liverpool like 15 years ago when they were both... Well, not 15 years ago, like 20 years ago when
they were
both crap.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Like the Julio and Ranieri phase of Chelsea-Liverpool.
Like people calling it before like the battle of mid. Yeah, it was just so poor. Like the amount of times both teams gave the ball away cheaply.
But like Chelsea got some decent players at middle, so like you'd think like possession would be like they're four to like Enzo Fernandez is a good player. Kovacic is a class player, I love Kovacic. But it's just once they pass it forward to the Liverlands, they're absolutely bobbins up there, aren't they?
Yeah. Finishing was shocking. Like Dan James had the best shot all night, and that was ruled out for an offside, wasn't it? I mean, when Havertz raced through, like it's straight at Alisson, and then it's hit off his hand and gone in.
There was one where, like, I think Kovacic like rounded the keeper and then just like it was like tap dancing on ball, like 4 yards out, put it in the back of the net. Yeah. Man. People just want to score the perfect goal all the time, rather than, I mean, that's what like Gallagher were like on Friday, rather than throwing everything over the line, trying to like side foot it and make it like a nice.
I was fuming at that one.
Nice half volley. That's just throw your ass at it and bundle everything over the line, that, innit?
I just thought it was so slow to react to it.
Well,
sure, he's got to like anticipate just something. Just, I mean, just be there.
He gets a lot of credit for how much he runs and he works hard, but like, there was one where he beat the centre back to it, nodded it round him, gets the byline. Whips a cross in that like takes the paint off the crossbar, like it goes behind the goalkeeper, doesn't it, basically, and like no one's there at the back post. And I was like, who's there? He's put it on goal line, like no one, the cross should be landing on the penny spot or in between the penny spot and 6 yard box, not behind the goalkeeper.
We go again.
Monday. You're going, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
You going at Craven?
No, I'm going to train.
Is it trains on Easter Monday?
Yeah.
What time train?
12 minutes to 9 from Blackburn. And I'm working tonight as well.
What time till?
Half one. if we go all that way to get beat. I say all that way. It's only Huddersfield.
Only like 45 minutes up the
train. Yeah, but, you know, back-to-back defeats. Working tonight. Well, could drop out of the playoffs.
Steve's going in his last win that he went to at West Ham. Oh, didn't go to Leicester because he was at court. Not he wasn't at court, he was on jury service. He was on jury service, difference. And he went to the Stoke game with us, went to Sheffield United with us, where we obviously got beat. So he's hoping for his first win tomorrow. Then there's not many games left. Is there Preston and Millwall? That's the only away games we've got.
I suppose something could talk about to finish on is another game being moved for Sky.
Sky Sports Latin Rovers.
The final home game of the season against Luton moved to May Day at R5.
Yeah. What I don't understand is who wants to watch that? Like, are there any clubs of neutral, like, not that don't support them, tuning into Blackburn versus Luton on a Monday night?
I suppose
bank holiday tea time.
They want this 10-10 thing, don't they? And they want like it must be the only playoff battle on that day, I suppose.
Could we not like 10th by then?
Me too. Yeah, it's annoying, really, isn't it?
Like,
I suppose it don't really change anything for us because we live in Blackburn, so we can just go down there anytime, really. But
yeah,
like for fans that live, we said it before, fans that live further afield.
Yeah, it's just, well, like, but this is what we just keep repeating ourselves about season tickets, don't we? Like, so we've got the fourth most expensive this one this year, and like, is it one of our last 13 home games have been Saturday 3 o'clock? And like, you buy
Swansea home, mate.
You buy a season ticket on the like, on the basis that your game's going to be Saturday 3 o'clock. Like, if someone said they're going to be Friday at 12 o'clock, then most people wouldn't buy season tickets. No. Like, you judge it on it being at a Saturday 3 o'clock, or worse, Sunday dinner time or whatever. But not Monday tea time on a bank holiday.
Is it just...
Like the next game, Saturday tea time, Saturday night time, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's Saturday night football against Hull.
Like, if you live like further afield than Bolton, last train home's gonna be past by the time you get back to Blackburn Trace and past then.
Yeah. So it's
lots to think about. Lots to think about for our £300,000 a year director. Lots to think about.
To me it's more, you know, it's another argument to support the DAZN deal. Like, yeah. If you said to DAZN, look, you can get rid of the 3 o'clock blackout, but every game has to be shown at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's got to be a bargaining.
Well, like, they could probably say, like, every game's at 3 o'clock, but you can pick one game, like a feature game.
To show at a different slot.
Yeah.
But that's it, like, you can't.
Which for me would always have to be Saturday tea time. That's, like, you couldn't have dinner time kickoffs because it. Well, people can't get there for a start early enough.
Or maybe, like, if it's dinner time kickoff, it has to be local.
Oh, yeah.
Relatively local. Mm.
Like, maybe they can, like, select 3 or 4 that are available for them times. But, like, Sky...
Local derbies and stuff.
It's almost like Sky picked the worst ones possible, like Newcastle, Brighton or something like that. Yeah. Like, yeah. Us and Norwich.
Mm. Do you remember a couple of seasons back, us versus Norwich down at their place at that Saturday night slot?
Yeah. And, like, the last train home was... before the second half started, I think it were. But yeah, it's there's a lot to think about, and I think something's been announced today where Premier League executives are on about voting for having individual streaming rights rather than going with the Sky and BT.
Right.
Now that is not something I support at all, because at the minute the Sky Sports deal, everyone gets $200 million, don't they? Like, flat rate. Yeah. Whereas if they change, like, individual streaming rights, United, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal...
gonna get ridiculous amounts of
money. Yeah. And, like, Bournemouth aren't going to get anywhere near.
And the thing is, as well, how do you... like, someone's got to be able to... If that was to happen, someone's got to be able to regulate it.
Yeah.
You can't be charging...
We'll have City, like, signing up for, like, 100,000 subscriptions in background trying to loan the money into the club. We all fall. Yeah, like, yeah. We see the Chinese people, we all fall down the wall.
Yeah, stuff like that. But as well as that, it's like, you can't be charging ridiculous amounts for, you know, fans overseas. You shouldn't be charging the same amount for the amount of charge of match tickets, because it's just...
not going to be worth it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll see.
That shouldn't be one of those things that... it shouldn't happen, that.
No. Right, you're going away on Tuesday, aren't you?
Yeah.
We will be back after the Huddersfield game, whether it be Teams or however we want to manage it. We'll figure something out.
Yeah. But if you get beat, I mean, we might leave it.
Yeah,
we
might just leave it till like August or something, pre-season. We'll do a pre-season preview.
We're back, season two.
But yeah, we'll be back after the Huddersfield game. Enjoy the game if you... can. That's
it.
Anything else to add? Last bits? Oh, last word?
We go again.
We go again.
Basically the message.
Alright, we'll see you in a bit.
See you later.
Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.